There's an ancient wise saying that the Israelites used to say, the children of Israel. It's found in the Hebrew scriptures, and we see it over and over. We're in the 21st century, so we can disagree that we have technology and science and all this stuff, but just consider this proverb, if you will. We find Jeremiah saying it. This is Jeremiah 31:29. It says, "The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are what?" Now wait a second. Scratch your head. I know you're a thinking church. You just don't believe everything. But read it again. The parents what? We tried again. That was awful weak. Seriously, I'm looking at it. Let's try it again. The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth. There you go. You're here. Second service is here. Do you know, I want you to think about that, that is literally not true. I mean, scientifically, that just can't be true. How can I eat, you know, there's, you ever had sour grapes, a little green, very hard, and you know, sour, you eat that, and immediately your mouth goes, and how could I eat sour Skittles? And that's my favorite candy. How could I eat sour Skittles, and it caused my children's lips to pucker up? I mean, that's not me. I'm here, and they're there. I mean, we're separate people. How can me eating something impact them, right? I mean, this is just like, you know, weird, like 3,000 years ago wisdom, but that's not wisdom for today, is it? In this one proverb is a hint to the lie, the first lie we're going to look at that we tell ourselves. So what is this proverb saying? This is going to be your first little bite. It's saying that, get ready, there is an unavoidable, prevailing, these are big words, unavoidable, you know what that word is. There's an unavoidable, prevailing influence that our families, that our parents have on our lives. Well, not me. Okay, well, just hang with me. I'm glad you're thinking, but just want you to think about that. Unavoidable, prevailing influence that our parents have on our lives. Jill handed me a stack of Dick's Sporting Goods coupons and sent me out to buy, with Charlie, to buy Charlie some new tennis shoes. She said, whatever coupon gets the most money, use that one. So we were off. We were at Dick's Sporting Goods. And from one end, kid you not, from one end of the wall, it's a giant warehouse, to the other end of the wall, there are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shoes. And we're just looking at them. We're just kind of going down. I'm like, Charlie, you see one? And you're like, that looks like a good one, shaking his head. No, we're just looking. I was like, just, you know, after a little while, just, there's hundreds of them here, son. Just pick any shoe you'd like. And finally I hear him say, can we go to Foot Locker? I'm like, Charlie, 10 Foot Lockers could fit in this store. Do you know, just look how many shoes there are there. Anything that Foot Locker has, you're going to find here. And plus, we have discounts, and we can get it cheaper. Can we still go to Foot Locker? I'm telling you, they're not going to have anything. So we go down to Foot Locker, and we're looking, and I have to admit this, they did have shoes that you couldn't find in Dick's, but I wasn't going to tell him. And we're looking, and he points at the most god-awful looking shoe I have ever seen in my entire life. These basketball shoes, like behind this glass. And he's like, I like those. And I'm like, why would you ever wear some? And as the words are coming out of my mouth, I thought to myself, I am my dad. I have become my dad. The exact same words. Why would you ever wear something like that? And listen, we know this intuitively, don't we? Come on, any parents out there, have you ever found yourself? Oh my gosh. Becoming my parents. How we live. What we do. reason with me if you're like, no, it's not true, but just reason with me. How we handle conflict, difficult times. Where do we go with our disappointments? Probably one of the biggest ones. What consumes our thinking? Where did that really come from? What do we worry about? What do we do with God? I wonder. What we eat, what we consume, where we go. I was thinking this week, it was Spirit Week at Virginia Academy. And for every day, they had a different day that you did. And one of the days was Character Day. And I found out from Jill that my son Oakley wanted to come to Character Day as a pastor. So when he came out of his room, he was a pastor and he had jeans on. Like his dad, he had Nike shoes on. And he had his little shirt and he had his sports coat. He wanted to be back. And then I went and got him a handkerchief to put in there to add to it a little bit. And I was so proud of him, but wanted to be a pastor. Where was his idea of a pastor? It was for me. Now, I just want you to take this. Listen, or think about this. For good or for bad? For the good things and also the bad things, we have an impact, a real one, unavoidable, prevailing, nothing stronger, impact on our children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, our legacies. Scripture's full of this idea. Let's look at a couple. Lamentations says it like this. Our ancestors, that's our forefathers, they sinned. They blew it. Now they're gone. And everything's okay now. Is that what the scripture says? No. They sinned, but now they're dead and gone. And we are bearing what? Now, literally, the word means their iniquity. It's not like it's just gone. No. We're having to deal with the actions and behaviors of our ancestors. Now, I know you agree with me. One more passage of scripture. We're in Exodus 20, and this is in the old covenant, and God is giving his 10 commandments to the children of Israel. Thou shalt, the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not make unto me any graven image to bow down or worship to it. And then right in the middle of that, there's this sentence that shows us this generational connection. I want to pick it up. This is Exodus 20 and 5. It says, I, the Lord your God, am a what? A jealous God who will not tolerate your love or your affection for any other God. Well, why would God say such a thing like hit such a me? He just knows that those other gods can't help you. And if you spend your time bowing down and worshiping them, you're just not going to get very far. And he loves you that much. He's the one that can help you. Let's keep going. This next sentence, we're talking about generational connections here. If it's up there, read it with me if you would. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. And this phrase, I want it to sink in. You might write it down in your notes. The what? The entire family is affected. Now, let's keep going. Even children in the what? Third and fourth generations of those who what? Now, you don't have to, but if we take this seriously, third and fourth generations, even children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great, let's keep going. If a generation is 40, what's 4 times 40? Okay, good, you're tracking with me. So let's just, if we take this seriously, we don't have to because it's just some book, whatever. If we take this seriously, in reality, many of us in here are dealing with things that happened many years ago. I didn't do it.
You didn't do it.
My ancestors
But now they're long gone. And yet I'm struggling with some things. Trying to overcome some things, sin patterns, maybe negative paradigms that keep popping up in your family's tree, your generations. They just keep coming to the surface again. Broken relationships, sicknesses, wrong thinking about God. This is powerful right here. So many of the wrong thinking about ourselves and about God. Traumas just keep popping up in our generation. So here's a thought in your notes, just as we're beginning. We're getting close to the first lie that we tell ourselves. Here's a thought. The influence of the choices we're making today, let's back up. The influence of how we're living our life right now will have an impact for many years to come. How I'm living right now. There's no way to get around it. You can't say that doesn't apply to me. No, no, no. The influence of how I'm living my life will continue to be felt for generations to come. Okay, now we're ready. What's the first lie that we tell ourselves? It's there in your notes. I want us to read this one out loud. This comes in various different forms, but let's look at it. Let's read it out loud. The past, here's the lie. The past is the past. It's over. I've moved on. It's not really impacting my life today. Okay. Now we can say, I think this lie, we never verbalize this lie. We just live as if it's true when we're saying that. This may be, by the way, I'm so glad you're here, this may be the only institution left in the world where we can pause and think. Many times we come into God's house and I've just asked you just to stop and think about your life and where you're going and what's happening. Is the past really not impacting you? Well, Pastor Charlie, I've never really thought about it. Okay. This is a good place to just stop and think. So here's the truth. Let's counter that with the truth there in your notes. The past, here it is, the past is in reality very present, and it's living on in you. Unavoidable, prevailing influence, living on in you. Now, wow, I'm so glad I came to church, Pastor Charlie. I'm so encouraged right now. Well, there are two groups of people I want to talk to who hear this. The first group is like, seriously, there's pretty much no hope for me. I'm done. Count me out. My family of origin, if you knew my story, it is so broken that I'm destined, now listen to me, I'm destined to be broken, to walk with that limp. I'll never reach that full, and listen to me, that's not necessarily true. If that was you thinking, man, I'm just, what's going to happen to me? If that's true. I got an email this week from a brother in this church, and it just simply said this. I want to read it to you. I wanted you to know my story. That was it. And then the document was there, and I clicked onto it, and he begins to share his story with me. And I just want to share a little bit with you. This is what he said. I used to struggle with alcohol and drugs. I can remember taking my first drink at the age of 5. My dad and his buddies were out in the front yard drinking beer. They gave me half a beer. They all laughed and thought it would be funny. I drank the beer and then proceeded to ride my bike down the road. I was swerving and acting like I was drunk driving. You see, at the age of 5, I already knew how a drunk driver acted because my dad was an alcoholic. I liked the way beer made me feel. Needless to say, alcohol was not readily available for a 5-year-old. So I found out that by huffing gas, I could really get high. and not have to deal with reality. I huffed gas up until the fourth grade when my parents finally caught me and then took me to a doctor and showed me a liver that had cirrhosis. It looked so nasty, and the doctor helped me to stop huffing. I can remember Mom taking us to church occasionally. Now, don't just listen to this guy's story. I want you to, more importantly, listen to the Holy Spirit and what he's saying to each of us. He's communicating. You just lean in and listen to him. I can remember my mom taking me to church occasionally, but it never really amounted to anything. Is that your church experience? Just attend and come, and but it's never really amounted to much. No change, no. Sadly, that can be true, let's be honest. Never really amounted to anything. He goes on, my dad was not available while I was growing up. He was a truck driver. When he would leave to go on his trips, we would just shake hands. He never told me he loved me, and we never hugged. He had no compassion whatsoever. If my feelings were hurt or if I were injured, he would just laugh and say, suck it up. Real men don't cry. Or stop crying, or I'll give you something to cry about. Love that phrase in there, if my feelings were hurt. Do you know everybody in here, sometime or another, your feelings will get hurt? That's real. Oh, not me. It's probably a real big sign, sir, that something's wrong. When I was 12, he told me he was leaving, and that he and Mom were getting a divorce. I remember holding on to his leg as he was leaving. He was dragging me across the floor on his way out the door. That devastated me. Even though he didn't show me a lot of love, he was still my hero. After that, I found alcohol and marijuana, and his story just begins to pick up in devastation. Listen to me. Now this brother is 20 years sober, giving his heart to the Lord, been baptized, washed. He's serving in this church. Listen, you can break the power of the past over your life. Your ancestry doesn't have to limit you. You're in a house of liberty. You're in a family of new beginnings and freedom in Jesus' name. Now, I have to be honest, it's not going to be a quick fix. I'm not going to just wave my wand over you or let's say a quick little prayer and presto, all the past erased. And No. It's not going to be that. But as you give yourself, listen to the Holy Spirit, as you give yourself to the things of God, you're not only going to be changing your life. You might not see it all in your life. That's okay, because God is a generational working God. You may be setting your children and your children's children up for success in Jesus' name. Your decisions will reverberate through your generations for good or for bad. Now, there's a second group here. Now, this is the toughest group that I want to just reason with, if you will, or wrestle with. And this is the group that I want to call the minimizers. This group says, I'm checked out, Pastor Charlie, because my family was not like that guy's family that you just read. I had a pretty good family. Yeah, my dad took me to Dick's and bought me some tennis shoes, and
you know, my mom fed me, and you know, they did the best they could. They loved me, and so I had a pretty good family. So that's other people's issues. Other people, that's their stuff, but that's not my stuff. And well, the only really problem with that is we're not taking the teaching of Scripture, or just hold on, not just the teaching of Scripture, but reality. If you're honest and can stop and think about it, we're not taking the teaching and the reality of life that you know seriously. What is that? One of the main teachings of Scripture is the complete fallenness of humanity. Every family has been impacted. This is one of the keys to understanding Scripture. From the very beginning, the first family, Adam and Eve, right? They disobeyed and turned away from God. And so we all of us in here, no one's exempt. All of us are a part of a fallen race. There it is, a corrupt family line. And so how did Adam and Eve deal with that break with God? Well, we know from Genesis 1 and 2, you know the story. They hid, they covered up, and they defended themselves against God and one another. And how do we, so many years later, how do we handle our issues? We avoid, we cover up, we isolate. We blame. Even right now, you're reasoning with me, and you're already saying, "Yeah, but you don't." Yeah, but. And so we have our mechanisms. Let me just. I can't go much longer there, but this is just a theme of Scripture. You can see it in Romans 3. It says, "There is none righteous." How many? No, not. Come on, say it with me. There are none righteous. No, not. You mean even the Whitlow family? Yes, the Whitlow tribe, your tribe. So what are you getting at, Pastor Charlie? I want you to see this. Every family has issues, stuff. Well, you're still minimizing. I can hear you. I still had a good family, and I just don't see what the big deal is. The big deal, here's the big deal. The big deal is as long as you gloss over your past, you will limit not only your future, but your generation's future. We're not talking about just quick fixes and glossing over. Just I'm going to forget that stuff. No, I know there were wonderful things, and I praise God that you had a pretty good family. But there's also some other things, I'm sure, in that family that if we will acknowledge will help us move forward. So here we are in your notes. What are we going to do? How do all of us begin to break the influence or the power, the negative patterns, the power of the past over our lives? There was a brilliant man in John 3 who came to Jesus and said, teacher, rabbi, how can a person inherit the kingdom of heaven? How can a person go to heaven? Jesus' response is critical right here because he says, truly I tell you, whenever Jesus says truly, this is like, I mean, he is truth and he's saying truly. I mean, you take this to the bank. You can't even see, forget entering into it. You can't see the kingdom of heaven unless you are what? Unless you're born again. This very brilliant person disclosed his mind. He says, what are you talking about being born again? I'm an old man. What am I to do? Climb into my mother's womb? I mean, how can a person be born again? He said, no, you're missing it. Born from above. Come on. Born by the action and prerogative of the power and the Spirit of God. This isn't something that you can initiate or make happen. I'll just get born again today. No, I'm sorry. It's the action of God when a person is declaring the good news of God's love towards somebody and God's moving on their heart that they can, that's the power of the Spirit knocking on someone's heart. And if you open up, you can be born again from above. And until that happens, the only thing we're left with
is behavior modification and resolutions and just trying harder and being more and more frustrated. Because the power is not there to live that new life. Imagine this. So imagine you're an olive tree and you want to produce oranges. And so, but you're an olive tree, right? You have your family. Track with me here. But you want something different. And so no matter how you prune the olive tree, no matter how you water it, no matter if you sing to the olive tree in the morning, or if you drive a stake in the ground and attach a line to it to make sure the olive tree is straight, no matter, I don't know, you dig around it, you mulch around it, whatever you do, it's still, come on, help me out, it's still going to do what? Produce olives. And then, I know what some of us do, we do the behavior modification and we try real hard, so let's take some hooks and put oranges on the olive branches and we'll just cover, and you know, it looks ridiculous, but you know, we dress ourselves up and we come and we, you know, fix ourselves up, and but we're still producing olives. And you say, well yeah, you need new roots to have new fruit. There is no other way. That olive tree needs to be pulled up by the roots and a new tree needs to be planted. What are you talking about, Pastor Charlie? I'm talking about the new birth. That's what happens when a person is born from above. I repent of my sins and I put my trust and I open up my heart to Jesus. And at that moment, a new root system is planted in the base of who I am and I become a new person. A new, what the scripture says, a new creation, and I have a new nature. Now it doesn't change everything at once. But at the base and at the core of who I am, now there is the power and the possibilities for new fruit to begin to be born in my life. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 45. It says, the scripture tells us, these are these two families, these two family trees. You see the first one, Adam. Adam became a living being. And then I already told you he fell from God and then everyone descended. But God, the story doesn't end there. God sent a second Adam. He was planting a new tree, a new family tree. Are you with me? This second Adam is the Christ. And where the first Adam brought death and covering and hiding and limitations, this second Adam is a life-giving what? Spirit at the base of who I am. There's constant, the spirit and the presence of God is there in my life. So at the moment that Christ enters my life and I'm born from above, listen, my identity and my destiny is no longer predominantly determined by the blood of my biological family. There's a shift that takes place. And now my identity and my destiny is predominantly determined by the blood of Jesus and his new spiritual family. What's that mean? Oh, it means that there are wonderful possibilities in Jesus' name. That despite of where I came from in Jesus, I have a new future. I have a new heavenly Father. I have the power that comes from above through the Spirit of God. I have an inheritance. Before, without Christ, I didn't have an inheritance. But now in Christ, I feel like one of the richest men in all the earth. I have unlimited resources in the kingdom of heaven in Christ. Listen to me. I want to ask you a question. We're talking about how can I break the power of the past. The very first step, have you been born again? I'm not talking about have you made a resolution. I'm not talking about you trying harder and saying, I'm going to really work at coming. You know, you can come to church your entire life and never be born again. Now, I hope that never happens here. That's why I just want to stop right now. Some of you, the reason why you're so frustrated because there hasn't been that spiritual transformation, that conversion, that salvation that only comes through God by His Son Christ. God so loved you. Listen to me, sir. God so loved you that He sent His Son. Whoever believes in Him, trusts in Him, reaches out to Him, you've got a different destiny. You have a totally different identity. I can move from brokenness to wholeness. In Jesus' name, the Spirit of the Lord is here. Would you bow your head just right now? I don't want to pause in this service. I don't want to even go any further. Someone under the sound of my voice needs this. You need to take your first step. And God isn't, you can feel your heart's just pounding in your chest. Jesus said, if I knock on the door of your heart, if any man or woman opens up, I will come in. And I'm asking you right now, in this service, in your own heart, to open up. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I'm a mess. And Lord, my ancestors, God, have been a mess. But you can save me. You can not only save me, Lord, but you can save my generations. And pronounce a blessing upon them. I pray it. In Jesus' name. Come on. In Jesus' name, all of us said, amen and amen.